We would like to acknowledge that the land on which CITR operates and broadcast, and where many of you are listening to the program from, is the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
Hello and welcome to That Song from That Movie. I'm Movie Maverick Mike.
And I'm Logan the Extra. Today we're talking about Batman Forever and the songs Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2. And Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
After former Disney animator Tim Burton made Batman a massive hit in 1989 and the middling box office for Batman Returns in 1992, Warner Brothers was willing to hand the next movie over to director Joel Schumacher, with Burton's blessing, who remained on as producer, but without Michael Keaton's flaccid Bruce Wayne, opting to put the cape on pretty boy actor Val Kilmer. The resulting production, Batman Forever, was lighter and more cartoony, where Batman takes on classic villains The Riddler and Two-Face, and was also a surprise hit, and was buoyed by two hit songs from the soundtrack from true surprising, there's that word again, UK bands.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
You're listening to Movie Maverick Mike and Logan the Extra on CITR 101.9 Vancouver, BC. So this movie, Batman Forever, was the third in the newer Batman movies at the time. The first one, like we said, was a big hit. Second one was profitable, but they wanted to lighten the tone on this next one. And so that's why director Schumacher came in, adding a little more brighter colors, a little more fun, if you can, compared to Tim Burton's dreary and often kind of gothic outlook on things. But the movie still had some serious story points if you squint hard enough.
I think it's a bit funny to talk about Tim Burton being dark and dreary. I mean, I mostly know him from The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is, I guess the themes are technically dark and the lighting is dark, but I mean, it's meant to be a have fun movie, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I think it was, I like the word gothic. There was, you know, big dark buildings, you know, something horrific or at least threatening around every corner. I mean, that fit into Batman's character, but it wasn't as, you know, as much as the fun Diglo comic books that this movie addressed.
But yeah, you're right. This movie, Batman Forever, is a lot more fun than some of the other Batman iterations we've seen. It's a good movie to watch. I don't know if there's anything that really stands out about it, but at the same time, there's nothing that really holds it back, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I think so too. I mean, it's not a great movie by any means, but you know, it has an interesting story. And like I say, if you look closely at some of the plot points about the duality of the Batman Bruce Wayne character, you know, reflected a little bit on Two-Face, which played by Tommy Lee Jones in a kind of a wasted role. He was overpowered by Jim Carrey, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But I think by the time you get to the ending, I found it kind of satisfying. And the two songs we're going to talk about both played over the end credits, and I think that really helped kind of bring it home. I think the movie really sticked the landing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, end credit songs, they help show you what the emotion of the movie was. It's almost like the takeaway while you're walking out of the theater, or if it's a Marvel movie while you're sitting down and waiting for the mid-credits. But, you know, these songs, it's interesting to write, have these songs both be about love. And, you know, that's not necessarily the usual Batman arc. Usually the Batman arc is about despair and about hatred. And I think these aren't necessarily, you know, really high energy, I'm so in love with you songs, but they're still love songs, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and before we get into playing one of those songs, I'll tell you a little bit about the history behind it for our listeners, is that, you know, at the time, when was this movie, 92, you know, a lot of times the after credit songs were kind of thrown in, some LA band that the producer discovered at this club, hey, you guys are great, here's $20, I'll put one of your songs on the air. So they weren't really meant to be necessarily radio friendly, and they weren't meant to be expensive or a top artist. They were just to kind of, okay, we're kind of reiterating the theme here. We're giving you a little bit of kick on the way out. So to have one song by U2, which was at the top of their game, and by Seal, which actually wasn't, that was kind of interesting. And let me go into that a little bit too. So the U2 song, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, at one point they were looking for Bono to be in the movie, his character.
Oh.
And his one of the caricatures and one of the characters he does on stage is a Mephisto. And so he was talking with Joel Schumacher, maybe I could be a henchman or maybe I could be in the movie. And although they abandoned that, and probably rightfully so, at least they still had, you know, the power of Bono and the Edge and Larry Mullen Jr. and Adam Clayton, U2, you know, the power of them writing a kick butt song, to be honest. So they got that cemented. And then for Seal, he was, you know, on the upswing for his career. This Kiss from a Rose wasn't meant to be released as a song at one time. It was, again, placed on the soundtrack as, yeah, you can have one of my songs. We don't know if I'll ever release it. And it became a massive hit for him.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of the making of Seal, this song, for the most part.
And that's what's interesting to me. And again, thank you. Nice, perfect lead-in. That's why I think it's important to talk about that song from that movie, because you start to wonder, would Seal still have the career he had if not for this late release song in this action movie that doesn't have a lot? The song and the movie don't go that well together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not like it plays during an integral scene or, you know, Batman stands up and sings it or anything.
Well, no, it's not like we talked about last time about Baby Driver, where it's a hard driving rat at that, you know, this song, obviously this song was just dying to be put into an action sequence, right?
Yeah, so you think if Batman Forever wasn't a hit, you know, you look at the things, maybe Val Kilmer doesn't want the role, or, you know, it's not as famous, then suddenly what does that happen? What happens to Seal's career if that happens?
Yeah, and that's what I think too. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Seal. I saw him in concert in Vancouver recently. I think he was destined for greatness, but this song really turbocharged his career.
That when it snows, my eyes become alive, and the light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. And now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain, baby. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? Did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a light, and the light that you shine can't be seen.
There's so much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen? Your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
You're listening to That Song from That Movie on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. So, Mike, this is one of your favorite songs. Is that safe to say?
The Seal song or the
E2
song? Yeah,
Kiss from a Rose, yeah.
Sure, yeah. No, I think it was a great song, well produced by Trevor Horn, well written and sung by Seal. I think this was destined to be a hit somewhere, but not necessarily in a cartoony action movie, which was the third Batman movie at the time.
Yeah, he has a really beautiful voice, and it really shows in this song. But it's not. We were talking about this a bit earlier. What do you know? Why they selected this song for the credits? I don't really know.
No, not offhand. I'm sure it was. Warner Brothers has their own music division. Maybe they just walked down the hall and said, "What have you got for us?" Maybe they felt like they needed to promote Seal a bit more. Maybe hopefully somebody in the production said, "Hey, this is a really great song. Let's find a way to jam it into the end of our movie."
Yeah, there's some of it that links together. I mean, Batman has a prominent arc with, I don't remember her name in the movie.
Oh, Chase Meridian, Dr. Chase Meridian, Nicole Kidman, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it helps there that we're, if this song was about, fast cars or something like that, maybe
it
wouldn't fit.
But actually, that's a good point. I mean, no stretch of the imagination can make you call Batman Forever a romance, but it does have some romantic aspects in it, and his relationship with the character Dr. Chase Meridian as both Batman and Bruce Wayne does play into his story. So the romance, you could say it's tacked on, but it does feed into the plot and the character development.
And both in the song and in the movie, it's a bit of a mysterious romance. I mean, the song has these kind of ethereal, non-exact words about it. Right. A really poetic way of doing it.
It is a poetic song. I would ask any of our listeners if they can translate what Kiss from a Rose does and what on the gray, something on the gray.
Yeah.
Please write into CITR
the
and
light
send
hits
email.
The moon on the gray. Yeah, it's not
yeah.
the...
Yeah, yeah. This is more poetry than it is your typical pop song with more direct lyrics. So
yeah, if you just read the lyrics, it might look a bit like ChatGPT had a bad day in the office. But, that's not giving enough service to Seal, really. There's some great lyrics to listen to, and you get the idea, even if he doesn't tell you directly.
But I'll tell you about my experience with this, which will lead into the U2 song too. So, like I said, leaving the theater, I was lucky enough to see this in the theaters, and leaving the theaters, you don't terribly pay attention to the end credits of the movie, even if it was a James Bond movie, you're walking out, how much popcorn have I spilled, and you move on. But I remember specifically, actually saw this in a theater in Calgary, walking out, and I'm ashamed to say, I can't remember which one was first, but let's assuming Kiss from a Rose was first, it's like, you know, that's kind of an interesting song in it. That sounds like Seal. I'm already a fan. So I made a mental note. And I remember thinking, you know, it's very rare that you think about any song that you when you're leaving the theater. And then they only played a fraction of the song, of course. And then they started playing Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. And I didn't recognize you too. And I thought, this is kind of an edgy kind of song. It's got a little wah-wah into it. And they only played a section of that. And I left the theater thinking, I should remember who these guys are too, not realizing they were the biggest Irish pop band in the world.
Yeah. You know, now I think about it, maybe if this movie was an incredible movie and, you know, the movie of the decade or something, maybe you wouldn't walk out thinking, you know, oh, what was that song? Because, you know, usually when you walk out of a theater, you're thinking, man, that movie was great. Or sometimes, man, that movie sucked. Or, do you remember that scene? But if it's, you have to have the right movie that you walk away and think, wait a second, what was that song that I heard on the way out?
So it's to me, what's interesting about the U2 song is that this movie, unlike Seal, this movie could have completely tanked. No one saw it. Everybody hates Val Kilmer's Batman. And U2 would go, we'll still go on our world tour. Like, they still would have been the stars they are.
Yeah, people would have still loved this song. You know, it would have sold, was it released as a single? Do you know?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it would have, you know, sold really well. But yeah, unlike for Seal, U2 could have just... This is just another, medal on their wall.
We've been on the radio a lot, so what would we care? But, and it's what's another contrast, too, is that the video for Seal's song, Kiss from a Rose, is a lot of clips from the movie and kind of slow motion, and he's dancing around the bat.
And if I remember right, it's almost like a Vaseline lens kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And Seal takes off his shirt. Good for him. You know, gotta make some money here. But I think it's kind of jammed into, and you can watch the video and go, what the hell does this scene of Batman have to do with A Kiss from a Rose and Moonlight on the Grey, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to the U2 video, which shows some scenes from the movie, some scenes from U2 in concert, and some of the band as a cartoon. Have you seen
that? Oh, really? No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and you're actually, this is a really cool video. So on the one hand, it looks like this video was fly sealed to the set, get him to dance around the bat signal for one day, we'll turn it into something. Whereas U2 is like, no, let's make it and I'll... it shows him dressed as Batman, Bono, and different parts. So I recommend you watch the video, even if you don't like the movie.
I wonder if they weren't anticipating Kiss from a Rose to be so popular. They're like, oh, wow, I guess we'll have Seal do a couple things, and we'll just cut together some parts from the movie. Whereas U2, they're like, yeah, we got a whole music video coming on here.
You're not releasing our song unless we get our guy who does videos, or we know someone who does this, or some real production behind it. So yeah, maybe this would be a good spot to listen to the U2 song.
You don't call.
You're listening to Movie Maverick Mike and Logan the Extra on 101.9 CITR Radio. You just listened to Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2.
This is one of those songs I think, you know, having followed U2 their whole career, it's going to be when you look back in the history of all the music they've made and, you know, they're currently in Vegas in residence.
Right, they just got the contract.
Yeah. And you're going to say, you know, it's going to be a footnote. You're going to say, remember they made that edgy, slight pop song for that cheesy Batman movie? So as opposed to other artists that we've highlighted on this show before, too, where their whole career or their whole arc sort of peaked when they had a song in the movie. This, for you two, will be a footnote in their whole career. So,
yeah, which is a bit of a testament to how popular U2 is. I mean, this was a popular movie. And, you know, as we talked about, this was a pivotal moment in the career of Seal. Although, you know, that could have happened through something else. But this was how it happened in this universe.
Yeah. And, you know, this was the number two movie for 1992, which was a delightful surprise for Warner Brothers because you've changed the cast, the main character, the actor. And it was the sixth most popular movie in the world that year. So, you know, definitely, I think that's why they brought Joel Schumacher back for Batman and Robin. The characters, I'm going to talk a little about the characters too, because what's interesting to me in this movie is that Robin is introduced. It's funny how he has a surprisingly serious counterpoint to Batman. And this movie didn't really come out in the movie, Chris O'Donnell or something like that. But I think
Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah. He tried hard to show, okay, you know, Robin was vengeful, homeless, you know, excitable. And, you know, that made it a little bit easier for Val Kilmer to play Batman as wise and stoic and patient.
Yeah. Again, I'll give a bit of a spoiler. We hope you've seen the movie. One of the pivotal points of Robin's arc is that he doesn't kill Two-Face, is that he has the chance to and he decides not to because he's wiser. So it shows that, you know, even though comic book Robin is a lot of G. Willikers Batman, this Robin was, you know, a bit more like Batman in the dark sense.
But that's not exactly fair because he's become Nightwing and, you know, there's Batman Year One. You know, Robin has a bit more of a sandpaper to him.
There's no one Robin that you can base it off of. But this one
was at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other two, Jim Carrey playing the Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. The Two-Face character was actually introduced in the previous Batman movie, but recast as Tommy Lee Jones, a rough Texas actor. And then Jim Carrey, scene-stealing comic, they didn't get along when they were filming the movie. Jim Carrey liked to improvise. Tommy Lee Jones wanted to be the serious guy. And then, you know, watching this movie, it's obvious that Carrey tries to steal every scene he's in.
Yeah, it's a bit unfortunate the way it works out, because I don't mind Jim Carrey's performance as the Riddler, but I found Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face to be one of the most interesting characters in the whole movie. So it's not that I wanted less Jim Carrey, but I could have done with more Tommy Lee Jones.
100%. I think Jim Carrey, I think this movie, people walk out and go, oh, Jim Carrey was great as a Riddler, and you tend to forget Tommy Lee Jones was in this movie. The scene at the end you were talking about when, again, you know, we always assume in that song from that movie that you're, you know, at least 97% familiar with the movie. So when Two-Face dies, Batman confronts him and he talks about flipping his coin. Two-Face always has a two-sided coin to design things. And this is after Jim Carrey's Riddler has been disposed off stage. And I remember watching it going, wow, I forgot that Tommy Lee Jones was in this movie.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just it's this brilliant moment. And it's a brilliant character death. But yeah, it was kind of this moment. Now that the Riddler was out of the way, Tommy Lee Jones got this moment to shine. And it's a bit like, when you see it, you wish we would have had more of him to lead up to that.
Yeah. And I think Tommy Lee Jones wanted to play this, you know, obviously Two-Face as a multifaceted character, the crazy
Who could have guessed?
Yeah. And so there's a part, yeah, I know. So, I mean, he doesn't really have much room to explore that when Jim Carrey is putting himself in the front.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's doing what he does, which is acting zany, and it's good.
But you see, that's the thing too, with all the Jim Carrey's theatric, there's one line at the end when he's blah blah blah, I'm gonna kill you, Batman, I'm gonna kill Robin, I'm gonna kill Dr. Chase Meridian, I'm the bad guy, I'm over the top. And then he has some line where he kind of spits out, he says you're gonna be dropped down and crash on the feet of goldfish in the rocks below. And he was like really bitter. And I was like, what? I mean, Jim Carrey has gone on to some serious roles.
Yeah, and he can play evil quite well too.
So I remember thinking at the end of the movie, I remember thinking it's too bad we didn't have more of Tommy Lee Jones to play less hysterical and more grounded. And then at the same time, there was when Jim Carrey had one or two moments where he was 100% evil or he was 100% vicious. You're like, wow, Jim Carrey can do vicious. The Robin character continued, Chris O'Donnell. In the next one, Batman and Robin, also directed by Schumacher, based on the success of this one, but we won't touch that one here.
That one wasn't as successful, was it?
No. It kind of got a little bit too far into the cheesy aspects of it. And I think Batman Forever is worth watching as a one-off. It's a good counterpoint to the other more serious Batmans. Definitely a counterpoint to the new Christopher Nolan ones. Mm-hmm. And the one we talked about a few weeks ago, the Reeves one.
The Batman.
Yeah, but it's not something you're going to tell people to drive across town to go see.
For the best in funk, soul, surf, and more music, tune in to Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Add us on Twitter at Jack Velvet Radio. Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show. Also available streaming and podcast at jackvelvet.net.
You've been listening to that song from that movie on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Logan the Extra, and you can find a recording of this episode and all of our previous episodes on CITR.ca. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.